Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Let us hear the word of God. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. He asked, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" Jesus replied. "How do you read it?" The rich young ruler answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus replied, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds and pouring oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. And he said, 'Look after him, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." And then reading from the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, you have been so good to feed us this morning with the bread of the earth. But Heavenly Father, now we ask that we would be fed with the bread of heaven, that you would pour out upon us your word, that you would draw us unto Christ, that you would exalt Christ through the preaching and the hearing of your word. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. You remember the game Monopoly? Yeah, we've grown up with that and we've all played the game of Monopoly. Well, interesting enough, the kingdom of God is kind of like Monopoly. In Monopoly, you are required to leave the space or the box or the square that's called Go. Remember that? But you leave Go in order to go to Go. There's no reward for staying on Go, but there is a great reward to go to Go. Go in Monopoly is the place you want to go from, but it's also the place you want to go to. Kind of strange, isn't it? It's strange that you can only get to Go by going past Go. Well, some of the teachings of the Bible seem to be in the same format. If you're going to find your life, you must lose it. If you're going to save yourself, you must put to death the self. If you're going to gain treasure in heaven, you must give up treasure on earth. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, we are faced with another similar saying, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Those who give mercy will receive mercy. But the twist is that you can only give that which you already have. Yet according to the Beatitude, you can't have unless you first give. In Monopoly, you leave the square Go in order to go to the square Go. In the Bible, if you are to receive mercy, you are to give mercy. Mercy stands at the start and the conclusion of the beatitude. Mercy is the beginning of the journey, but it's also the journey's end. Well, how do we understand this confusion? Does Jesus mean that we will only receive mercy only if we ourselves are merciful? Well, that's exactly what he means. In the beginning, mercy stands as the description of the individual. Blessed are the merciful. But at the end, it is the reward. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Now, this does not imply that salvation is earned or merited by us. Instead, being merciful is the natural result. It is the outworking of the kingdom of God within us. Mercy is the seed that is planted in good ground. And mercy is also the fruit that is produced on the branch that all may recognize that it is in fact mercy. If we are not merciful, it is because we've never received mercy. You cannot receive the mercy of Christ and therefore not be merciful to others. Mercy is the journey, but it's also the journey's end. It's the place where we begin, but it's also the place that we're going to. But what exactly is mercy? Well, it has been said that kindness is a friend calling when you're well, when everything's going fine. But that mercy is a friend calling when you're sick, when you're in need. And this lesson is best seen in the parable of the Good Samaritan. At the end of the parable, Jesus asked, "Which one of these, the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan, do you think was a neighbor to the man?" And the expert in the law said, "The one who had mercy on him." So the thing that we need to note here about the Samaritan and mercy is this: that mercy relieves the consequences of sin in the lives of others. Mercy relieves the consequences of sin in the lives of others. Whether they are the guilty party or whether somebody has sinned against them, it doesn't matter. Mercy seeks to relieve the consequences of sin upon people's lives. You know, sin is kind of like the fallout from a nuclear blast. The bomb goes off and it just doesn't affect just what is right here, immediate where the bomb lands. No, it's everywhere. There's a ripple effect. Well, in mercy, we lay to heart the miseries of others because of sin in their lives or because they have been sinned against. Notice that the actions of the Samaritan, the man on the road who was robbed and beaten by criminals, was unable to help himself in any way. Yet the Samaritan took responsibility for the injured man. He ministered to his broken body, his bruised body. He did everything he could to provide for the restoration and healing of the man. Notice this, that he did not deal with the cause of the man's need, like, "Well, we just need more police out here along the road." Neither did the Samaritan wait for laws to be passed so that some government agency could come rushing in and take care of the situation. Of course, there's always a place for justice. There's a place for the policeman, and there is a place for government assistance. But the Samaritan didn't wait on that. He did not assume it was somebody else's responsibility. Instead, the Samaritan sought to work in the context of the immediate providence that God had placed him. He set out to help the man. The Samaritan provided mercy. He went to him, he picked him up, he bound his wounds, he put him on his donkey, he took him to an inn, he took care of him. Then the next day, when he had to leave, he provided money to the innkeeper to take care of the man until the man was well. The Good Samaritan was inconvenienced. The Good Samaritan was inconvenienced. He got down on his hands and knees. He got his clothes dirty. It cost him time and money. It messed up his entire daily schedule. The things that he wanted to do that day, he didn't get done. It was inconvenient to show mercy. Still, that's exactly what the Samaritan did. He showed mercy. He sought to restore the dignity to the man's life because the man had been affected by sin. The Samaritan, he died to himself in order that another may live. He denied himself in order that another may receive. He sought to lose himself so that another may gain. Mercy seeks to relieve the consequences of sin in other people's lives. Let me say it one more time. Mercy seeks to relieve the consequences of sin in other people's lives. The prophet Hosea, being carried along by the Holy Spirit, says, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice, acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." The prophet Micah tells us that God desires mercy. True religion, true Christianity, is always lived out in relationship. You can't be a Christian in a vacuum. There's no such thing as a private faith. You ever talk to somebody and they would say, "Well, my faith is just kind of a private thing." If your faith is private, it is because you have no faith. You can't live the Christian life in a vacuum. It is always other-directed. Your life, your faith, will have an impact on others. In the story of the Good Samaritan, the priest and the Levite, they were concerned about becoming ritually unclean. And if they were unclean, then they could not go about their duties. But it was not a sin for them to become ceremonially unclean. Well, maybe they were afraid of getting sick from the man. But you know what? It would not have been a sin for them to get sick because they were caring for the sick. But it is always sinful to withhold mercy when it is within your power to extend mercy. The priest and the Levite, they didn't wish harm on the man. They didn't have contempt for the man. Instead, they just left the man alone. The Samaritan, he was inconvenienced. It cost him time. It cost him money. But he showed mercy. Mercy never hides behind false biblical teaching. Instead, mercy always is other-oriented. It seeks to relieve the consequences of sin in other people's lives. Here's another aspect of mercy. The lack of mercy is a mark of betrayal to Jesus. The lack of mercy is a mark of betrayal to Jesus. Jesus connects the lack of mercy to his betrayal in Matthew 25. At the end of time, Jesus says he will separate the sheep from the goats. The sheep will be brought into everlasting joy, while the goats will be sent to the eternal fire. But what is interesting here between the sheep and the goats is that they both call Jesus Lord. They both claim to follow Jesus. So what is the difference? Jesus tells us that the difference is in what they did. They both call Jesus Lord, but how they acted out their faith in their life. And Jesus tells us the reason for the goats being cast into hell is because they did not show mercy. And they responded by saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and not feed you? When did we see you naked and not provide clothes for you? When did we see you thirsty and not give you something to drink?" And Jesus responds by saying, "When you did it to the least of these, you did it to me." Both the sheep and the goats claim faith in Christ. But for the goats, just like the Levite and the priest, their faith was dead. They refused to die to their own plans. They refused to be inconvenienced. They refused to show mercy. But showing mercy is the true hallmark of conversion to Christ. Showing mercy is the true mark of one who follows Christ. Because you see, by showing mercy, we resemble Jesus Christ. Again, the prophet Micah, God delights in mercy. So if you then delight in mercy, you see, that is an indication, that is a sign that you are like Christ. Psalm 145, His tender mercies are over all His works. There is no creature that lives, man or beast, good or evil, that is in not some way the recipient of the mercies of God. Every time you draw a breath, you're experiencing the mercy of God. Every bit of bread you eat, you are experiencing the mercy of God. You cannot even begin to count the mercies of God because they are so many to you. All of our life is lived upon God being merciful to us. The sun in the sky does not exist for itself. It exists for us. The rain does not fall and then absorb back into the clouds because the clouds need water. No. The rain falls because we need it. God is so merciful to us. And we haven't even begun to talk about the mercies that we have in Christ, the forgiveness of sins, the adoption of sons and daughters, sanctification, and eventual glorification. All this is by the grace and mercy of God. You see, Christ is the Good Samaritan. And He has found us robbed and beaten. But He has not left us alone. Instead, He has brought us to Himself. He has healed us. He has fed us. He has restored us. How then can we claim to be Christians if we ourselves show no mercy? Maybe it is because we haven't experienced the mercy of God. But those who have really experienced the mercy of God in their life, the fruit of that is showing mercy to others. Very seldom do we run across someone who has been beaten and robbed and left for dead. But if you think about it, there are people in your life that providentially God has placed in your life, maybe family members, church members, people you work with, your next door neighbor. There are people that God has providentially put in your life that are in need of you showing them mercy. The reason that God has shown you mercy is because He wants you to show mercy to others. In Monopoly, you leave go in order to go to go. In the Bible, you show mercy and you will receive mercy. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank You for the mercies that You have poured out upon us in Christ. Your mercies are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Heavenly Father, let us always be aware of those around us who are in need of us demonstrating the mercy of Christ to them. And then, Heavenly Father, by the power of Your Spirit and by Your mercies to us, empower us to demonstrate that mercy, the mercy of Jesus to others. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. Let's close our worship this morning as we stand and sing together hymn number 196. Hymn number 196, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.